James 1:22, amen. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves, your own selves, amen. James 1:22, amen. We don't want to deceive ourselves. But we often do deceive ourselves, don't we? By the way, come back tonight. We're going to be talking about a lot of that deception as well. Father, tonight and this morning, we are so grateful to be in your house, Lord. I pray that you would work in us, Lord, to help us to become more knowledgeable of Christ-likeness, Lord, in the image that you would have us to be. Lord, it takes work. It takes time. It takes endeavoring to, Lord, to get the word of God in our hearts and then be a doer of the same word and work of God, that we may be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. So, Lord, help us today as we look at the practicality of the golden rule and what our job is in fulfilling of this golden rule. Thank you so much, Lord, for loving us. So we know we're not saved by the golden rule, but, Lord, we sure do show Christ-likeness with the golden rule. So work in us, work through us, Lord, that you may receive all the praise, the honor, and the glory. Holy Spirit, open up our ears, open up our hearts, and help us to, Lord, come to the conclusion of what we need in our own personal lives to be better for Christ and for the world around us. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Well, praise the Lord. We're dealing with the golden rule. And when you're looking at the golden rule, it's going to be different for all of us as to what we need. Amen. For some of us, we can do one thing of the golden rule better, and other things we cannot do better. Some of us are just natural helpers. Am I right? And so helping someone by the golden rule is easy. Some of us are just natural forgivers. So forgiving someone by the golden rule is just easy. Others of us are retaliatory. Retaliatory, is that the word? Retaliatory? When you want to retaliate on someone? So some people are that way. They want to get you back. And so forgiving for that person is not going to be as easy. Amen. They want to get you back. Amen. And so the golden rule is going to differ for each of us. Today, we're going to be talking about the movement of the golden rule. Or in other words, what should we do? Now that we know what the golden rule says, now that we know what the golden rule is, now what do we do? Amen. So that's what we're talking about today, the movement of the golden rule. But before we do that, amen, notice our verse there, but be ye doers of the word. The word doer means to be a practicer or a performer. Amen. Doing that. Amen. So be ye doers of the what? The word. What does he mean by be doers of the word? Jared?
Well, what God tells you to do in the word, the Bible, you should be following it.
Amen. Whatever God says in the word, that's what we should be doing. Amen. Doers. By the way, if you have a job, what should you be doing at your job? Do your job. What your boss tells you to do. Amen. Should you be doing what you want to do? No. If you do what you want to do, what's going to happen most times? You're going to get fired. You know? You come in and the boss says, what are you doing? Well, I'm doing what I want to do. No, you're supposed to be doing my word that I told you because I am paying you. And so if you're not doing what I pay you for, then what good are you? I'll get someone in that will do the work. Amen. The Bible says, be doers of the word. Do what God tells us to do and not hearers only. What age group is normally associated with being a hearer only? Teenagers are normally associated with being a hearer only. They hear, but then they don't do. Why is it that they don't do what they hear? Jerry?
It could be they haven't been taught by the example of their parents or authority.
Could be they haven't been taught by the example of their parents or the authority. What is another reason why parents, by their, yes, Beth? Self-centered. Oftentimes, teenagers want to do what they want to do. They want to test the waters. They want to feel this out. I think I can make a pretty good decision on my own. I don't have to listen to mom and daddy. Amen. I remember seeing my daddy all the time, you know, in the car driving and putting it in the park and all that. And I always wondered, what would happen if while you were driving, you would put the car in park? And my daddy said, that's not a good practice, son. It can ruin your car.
Messes up the car, yeah.
I wanted to see it done. And so I went through driver's education, and we had the old simulators. How many of y'all remember the simulators? It was like a fake car, but you sat in it. And so as I was going 55 miles an hour, guess what I did with the simulated car? I put it in park to see what was going to happen. What was that? I don't know what I did, but I heard clanking and clunking. I know that. I heard some go, car 55, what are you doing back there? Making a mess, that's what I'm doing. Because you had these cars and they were all lined up. So the teacher had you up there on the monitor so he could tell who was doing what. What are you doing back there? Yeah, well, praise God for me, it was my football coach, so I didn't get into too much trouble. Amen. But they want to do what they want to do. The Bible says, be ye hearers of the word, not doers. Be ye doers of the word, not hearers only. Because if we are a hearer and not a doer, what are we doing? Deceiving ourselves. We're deceiving ourselves. Do we have practical experience if we're just a hearer and not a doer? I've got two medical professionals here, Daniel and Miss Faye. Let's say they both went through their respective medical professions and they were hearers of the word. And then patient A comes through and they don't practice on patient A what they have been taught or what they heard. What's going to happen to patient A oftentimes? Well, let's hope it's not that severe. Amen. They won't get as well as they could as quickly as they should. And what can the boss come down on our medical professions and say? Why didn't you do what you were taught? Or why didn't you do what you heard? Well, I thought I could do the Frank Sinatra and do it my way. Well, before you came in here, you weren't a medical professional. And so your way was not going to work. Amen. Daniel puts a tourniquet on their neck. I don't think that's going to be successful. Well, I'm having problems breathing, Daniel. Well, let's put a tourniquet right there and let's see how that does. Well, that actually makes it worse. I'm just saying, if we want to be successful in doing what God wants us to do, we've got to do what God says to do. Be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Verse 23, for if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. The picture here is going in front of a mirror and seeing a reflection of something that needs attention. And if you know what I'm talking about, you see something and you go to take care of it by getting a tweezer or getting a towel and somebody interrupts you right in the middle, what happens sometimes? You get distracted and you forget what you were doing. And what is still on your personage? The same spot that you saw or whatever it was. So that's one of those things that we have to really consider when it comes to the word of God. Verse 24, he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. So in other words, I go away from God's word. If I'm not a doer, I forget what God told me I was and what I needed attention to. And I forget all about it and go out there. And now I'm doing the same thing again. But he says, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a what? Doer of the work. Or I'm doing that which I was tasked to do. This man should be what? Blessed in his deed. How many of y'all want to be blessed? Amen. So could we say the opposite? If I don't do God's word, I'll be beat and not blessed. You might be. But you definitely will be burdened somehow, some way, shape, fashion, or form. Amen. So let's look at your book here, because that's what we're talking about here coming up in this lesson now, being a doer of the word and not a hearer only. Does anybody need any of the previous lessons repeated? Any of the Roman numerals repeated previously? Yes, Bev, which one do you need? Two? Roman numeral two was the motivation. The motivation that we have in doing this. Whatsoever that you would that men should do to you. That's the motivation. A, what our motivation is not. And we read that our motivation is not that men will treat us the way we want to be treated. We don't do it to get something in return. We do it because God said we ought to.
Yes,
amen. So what our motivation is not, that's A. And then B, what our motivation is, and our motivation is to honor the Lord and be a blessing to others. Should be a motivation to honor the Lord and be a blessing to others. And so that was the A and the B, what it is not and what it is. All right. Anybody else need anything else before we go on? So coming in here to Roman numeral 3 then, the movement is what we're going to talk about. The movement. And the movement in this, we accent it in Roman numeral 2, the motivation men should do to you. In Roman numeral 3, the emphasis is going to be men should do to you. Do ye unto them. So go to Matthew 7. Matthew 7. Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. So the emphasis on this one is do. Amen. That means we have to make a conscientious decision to do what God is telling us to do. Amen. By the way, we won't see the fruit of this verse if we are passively minding our business. This has to be aggressive and active. And by the way, should we try to avoid conflict? We should try to avoid conflict. But when it comes to this verse here, we want to actually do what we appreciate being done to us. And this is where the rubber meets the road in this verse here. Amen. Friction versus traction. Amen. All right. So let's look at here. They list down there for you what? Be doers of the word, right? Did they give you verses 22, 23, 24, and 25 in your books?
Yeah.
Okay, good. So we just covered those. So that's good. Amen. We want to be the doer of the word. There's got to be some action on our part to accomplish this. And there's several aspects of what we should do. Okay, and that's what we're going to talk about this morning. Several aspects of what we should do when it comes to the golden rule. And the emphasis is going to be on how we want the golden rule done. How we want the golden rule done. Now, first of all, A, it should be done personally. Personally. It should be done personally. Now, if you had to give a definition to personally, what would that definition be? Personally. What does personally mean to you, Jerry? To yourself, okay? What else does personally mean? Personally. Because it should be done personally. Was that a touch? Your touch. That's a good way of saying it. Your touch. Your touch. I'm not going to do things the way Littrell would do things. Littrell's not going to do things the way Brother Neil would do things. And Brother Neil's not going to do things the way Brother, can I call you Brother Duffy? Brother Kelly would do things, amen? We're three different personalities. So I can't do it the way they would do it. They can't do it the way I would do it. Tasha's not going to do it the way Bev would do it.
Right.
Bev's not going to do it the way Jerry would do it. And Jerry's not going to do it the way that Sister Myers would do it. We're all going to do it differently. But it should be done personally. It should have our own touch that the Holy Spirit has touched us with. Amen. The last thing you want to be is a carbon copy. If God wanted us to be carbon copies, he would have made us all the same.
Yes, sir.
All y'all would look just like me.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord, Pastor.
We tried to laugh at that one. Amen. Or we'd all look like Brother Neil, or we'd all look like Tasha, or we'd all look like Jet. We'd all be, if God wanted us to be, we'd all look the same, and you'd look in the mirror, and boy, you look like me. You look like me. Everybody looks like me. Everybody does things like me. That'd be a boring world, wouldn't it?
Yes, sir.
If everybody were just like you, some folks say, well, the world would be a better place if everybody was like me. Amen. There'd be no what? Be no jealousy. Amen. We all look the same. So it's got to be personal. And by the way, you can't shift the golden rule on the church and say, well, that's the church's responsibility. No, the church is made up of what?
People.
So you can't say, well, the church needs to, do the golden rule. Now, corporately, when people come in here, we should demonstrate the golden rule as a church.
Yes, sir.
But guess what? It should be done personally by each and every one of you. Amen. So when somebody comes in and you greet them, I'm not going to greet them the way Brother Neil would.
Right.
Amen. And neither is Jeff or anybody else. So it's got to be done personally. You can't give that responsibility over to your spouse. You can't give it to your children. You can't give it over to your boss. You and I must personally do this golden rule to others. And I like what Natasha says, with our touch. Amen. So personally, it's got to be done personally by you. So that is the first thing here. Now, if someone comes into the church and I want to be personal with them and greet them, how can I greet them?
Cordially,
politely. Okay. So what can I do with that politeness? Welcome them. I can shake their hand, maybe. I can say good morning, maybe. I could say, hey, welcome to Shining Light, maybe. What would you normally say?
Yeah.
You know, one of the first things that comes to my mind, which probably doesn't come to your mind, is how did you hear about us?
Yeah, that's right.
I always want to know, how did you hear about us? Were you referred to us by someone? And the number one reason that I get is we found you on the web.
Yes, sir.
Amen. That's the generation in which we live. It used to be you go to the Yellow Pages. When I first got to Tucson, guess where I went? I went to the Yellow Pages. I looked up independent fundamental Baptist churches, and I said, here we go. People don't do that nowadays. Does anybody even have a phone book? There is no such thing as a phone book anymore. Amen. We've got about four of them stacked up in the church office in there. Amen. They used to give them out all the time. Now it's a thing of the past. Now everybody goes to the web. You Google independent fundamental Baptist churches, and guess what comes up? Shining Light Baptist Church. So I say, hey, how you doing? How'd you hear about us? Amen. You might say, hey, the refreshments are that away. Amen. You might say, hey, good morning. Hey, if you need to freshen up, the bathroom is that away. That's normally a woman thing. Amen. Men, we don't do the bathroom thing. Amen. But whatever it is, you've got to give it your personal special touch. Sometimes it's a handshake. Now, by the way, let me warn you on something. When people come to church, we're talking about this on Sunday mornings, what do they normally have when they come to church? What normally brings people to church besides an invitation? Problems.
Problems, there you go. The problems, Pastor.
So if you ask them, how are you today, what should you be ready to hear?
Problems.
A lot of them. Now, if you're not ready to hear their problems, what should you not say?
How are you?
You shouldn't ask, how are you doing? You might want to say, good to see you. Thanks for coming to Shining Light. Welcome to our church. But if you say, how are you? And they pull out their little list.
They got a lot of to-dos.
Since you asked, my dog died, my cat ran away, my parrot doesn't talk anymore, I got fired yesterday, I'm getting evicted tomorrow, my car broke down. You're sitting there. I just asked you how you are, yes. Pastor's office is right over there. He's open for counsel. Amen. I'm just saying, if you ask someone personally and you're trying to do the golden rule, be careful what you say, because they may take you up on that.
Amen, Pastor. Amen.
And they may start unloading on you. And you may say, that's not what I meant. Mean what you say and say what you mean. If you didn't mean it, don't say it. You know, hey, glad to have you in our church today. But if you ask him, how are you doing? You often set yourself up for failure. Well, yeah, I'm like, this is supposed to be the church. You're supposed to be listening to what I say, and you don't care. Nobody loves me. That's not true. Some people don't even know you. That helps, doesn't it?
Yes, sir.
Salt in the wound. Amen. All right. So the golden rule should be done personally. We should extend what we want extended to us. Again, therefore, all things, whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. So now, you know, just be careful with that. Amen. So it should be done personally. It should have our own personal touch on it. We should treat people the way we want to be treated, have our own personal touch. B, it should be done positively. It should be done positively. Amen. Now, when we talk about positively, what are we talking about? Keep a positive attitude. Keep a positive motive. Make sure you're looking to be a blessing and not a burden.
Amen, Pastor. That's right, Pastor.
Now, pastors, we're kind of cut a little different. We're supposed to be burden bearers. But you shouldn't want to give a burden to someone on purpose. Amen. I'm coming over here, Daniel. I want to be a burden to you, so let me bless you with my burdens. Well, you know, I've got to be careful in that. So I want to be positive. So it's done positively, you know. Now, do you need help at times? Yes, you do.
Yeah.
Do you need to bear your burdens at times? Yes, you do. Mm-hmm. Yes, you do. But me, as the one who's trying to exhibit the golden rule, then I want to be positive in what I'm doing. And if someone does have a burden, then I want to receive that so that I can help them the way I would want to be helped as well. You know, and here's what you do. Yes, Beth. Are you kidding me? Did you throw rocks at him? Did you throw rocks at him? Amen. 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 That is a good illustration as well. That first guy, he's a scoundrel. Shame on him. Amen. And that is really, really a good illustration. Now, when we're talking about being a positive, you know, of course, it's going to be personally, then positive. Try to avoid this trap. And I know oftentimes we mean well by this trap, but sometimes it can do more damage than good.
Yes, sir.
Someone tells you their problem. Mm-hmm. You in turn do what with their problem? Well, we do try to fix it,
yes,
but then we tell them our problem. Did that help their problem?
No, it does not.
Does misery love company? Oftentimes, misery does not love company. It doesn't help me to find out that you're bad. I want to know how to get good. Amen.
Amen.
But when you tell me you're bad, I'm already bad. I feel worse.
Yes, sir, Pastor.
And sometimes we want to identify. Well, let me identify. I got problems too. Well, sometimes that's okay, but other times that's not okay. It all depends on the person. You've got to let the Spirit lead you in that, because if they tell you their problem, you say, well, yeah, let me tell you about my problem. I got a problem with that, like that too. Now, if you're solving the problem by sharing your problem, that's one thing. But if you're bringing the person down with your problem and they didn't really want to hear your problem, that's worse. I made that mistake one time. I was talking to a brother, and he was telling me all his woes, and I went back, and I said, well, you know, this brother over here has got a woe similar to yours.
Yep.
And he shut me down. So he said, we ain't talking about that brother. We talking about me. And I thought, I was trying to help you identify somebody else is struggling like you. He didn't want to hear about somebody else's struggle. He's like, look, I got enough struggle. I can't handle hearing about somebody else's struggle. And I thought, yikes.
Yikes.
Open up mouth, insert foot. I'm trying to help the brother out. He shut me down real quick. So be careful with that, because some folks will say, look, I'm not concerned about other people's problems. I'm concerned about my own. So be positive in this. And it is done personally. They give you the verse down there. This needs some clarification. Go over to Matthew 20, 25. I want to make sure that you're on the right road with this. Matthew 25. Because many people have mistakenly applied this verse to salvation, and it is in a total different dispensation. What does dispensation mean? It means it's a time where God judged people based upon the knowledge that they had. And this is a total different time dispensation here. Matthew 25 and verse 34. What's going on here? Anybody have any captions over verse number 31? Anybody got captions? Judgment of the Gentiles, okay? If that is a judgment of the Gentiles, what time frame do you think this is that's occurring of this judgment? Anybody have an idea? Brother Neil?
Yeah,
after the rapture.
After the rapture, yeah.
The rapture has just concluded. Mm-hmm. Who is the target of judgment during the tribulation? The world, of course, we know that.
Yeah.
But of course, who else is the main primary target in the in the tribulation time? Anybody know? The Jews.
The Jews.
So the Jews are the main target, so they will turn to Christ. They're being beat down, and immediately after the tribulation is over, Christ is going to give some judgment out.
Yes, sir,
and one of the judgments is going to go towards the Gentiles.
Yes, sir.
And the judgment is going to be how they treated the Jews during the time of the tribulation. So if you saw a Jew that was being persecuted by the Antichrist and the regime that he has at that time, and you were kind to them, that did not save you, but it showed that you were saved. Does that make sense to everybody?
Yes, sir, Pastor.
In other words, they didn't do that to be saved. They did that because they were saved. They did that because they were exhibiting faith in Christ. And they were identifying with the plight of the Jews and doing something to them. So come down here. And so everybody got that.
Amen.
So this is not what saves you. Because a lot of people will take this and say, well, yeah, see, I went to the prisons and I fed people, so I must be saved. No. This is totally different. So this is the Gentiles' treatment to the Jews during the tribulation. Right after that, they're rewarded. Okay, so notice verse number 34. Because we're going to pick this up after verses 31, 32. 31 and 32, the Son of Man comes down. The separation is there. He's dividing everybody up, puts them on the right hand. The sheep are on his right hand, the goats on the left. Notice verse 34. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, who's on the right hand? The sheep. Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and ye gave you gave me meat. Now he says, I was a hunger. Was it actually Jesus Christ himself that was hungry? No. Who was hungry? The Jews.
The Jews were hungry.
He says, I wasn't hungered and you gave me meat. The equivalent would be say, I was hungry and you gave me something. And I'm speaking in reference to my children. Okay. He says down there, verse 35, for I was in hunger and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was a stranger, you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. All right, so that's some of the plight that the Jews are going to go through. Then shall the righteous answer him. These are the sheep on the right hand, saying, Lord, when saw we thee and hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? They're curious. They're wanting to know, well, when did we do this to you?
Mm-hmm.
They're oblivious.
Yes, sir, Pastor.
Why? They're just living out a saved life.
Yep.
When you exhibit your godly encouragement or spirit-filled encouragement, are you looking for a reward? You shouldn't be.
No, you're not.
You shouldn't be, because if you're looking for the reward, you already have your reward.
Yes, sir. We do.
But if I'm doing this for Jesus, I'm not really considering the thing that's going to come afterwards. I just want to help. Bev gave the illustration of the guy that said, hey, put your car up in here and drive this car. He's not looking for a payback down the road, I don't think. I think he's just out of the kindness of his heart doing that. And so that's what's going on here. The Jews were targets of the Antichrist and his regime, and the Gentiles saw that, were sympathetic toward them and wanting to help them, exhibiting the salvation faith in Christ, are now being rewarded hereafter. They said, when did we do this? Verse 38, when saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Verse 39, when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? Verse 40, and the king shall answer and say unto them, verily, I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, the Jews, ye have done it unto me. Notice verse 41, then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, who are those? The goats. Those that did not exhibit this Christ-likeness. Depart from me, ye cursed, into what? Everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. In other words, it's saying you were not saved, and that's why you didn't demonstrate salvation. Because if you were saved, you would have demonstrated it. Then they ask the question, well, why not? He gives the same judgment that he gave to the previous ones. I was hungry, I was thirsty, I was in prison, and you didn't do it. All right? So the end result is verse 45. Then shall he answer them, saying, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me, and these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous unto eternal life. So we're looking at doing something positively. We're doing it for the right motives. We're doing it for the right mentality. And we're doing it that God may be glorified. The parallel to this is James 2. Go over to James 2. And we're not going to be able to get a whole lot more out of here. James chapter 2, give you the parallel to this. Should be done positively. James chapter number 2. Now, how many of you are aware that James, there was some controversy in allowing the book of James in the Bible? Anybody aware of that? There was some controversy in allowing the book of James in the Bible. Anybody want to know why there was some controversy there? Who wrote most of the New Testament, by the way? Paul wrote most of the New Testament. Littrell? Oh, okay. Who wrote most of the New Testament? Paul. And what was Paul's claim to fame in preaching? He was a Jew, but what was his message that he was preaching? Salvation by faith alone and no works, right? Guess what James comes along and says? It seems as though he's saying salvation by works. And so they didn't want to let this book into the New Testament because they said, hey, James is talking about works. Now, wait a minute. Let's get practical here. I hire Kelly. And I say, Kelly, I need you to go and fix my light switch. Kelly says, boy, I'm the best fixer in the world. I can fix any light switch in the world. Blah, 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 blah. He's got good talk. But now I called him in to do the work. I got faith in him because he said it. But then he comes in and he says, what's a light switch?
Yes, sir, Pastor. Yes, sir.
Faith without works is dead.
Yes.
Does that help me at all that he says he can do it, but he doesn't do it? So James is saying faith without works is dead. If you are an electrician, you should be able to fix the light switch. Amen, if you're not, stop saying you are. James was saying if you are a Christian, you should have Christian works.
Amen.
If you don't have Christian works, you must not be a Christian. That's all James is saying. He's saying put up or shut up. Let's just be honest. He's saying, put up a shirt. If you say you're a Christian, you should act like a Christian. If you're not acting like a Christian, maybe you're not a Christian. All right, y'all with me here in James? James chapter 2. Go to verse 14. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he have, what's the word? Faith, and have not what? Works. Can faith save him? We would say what? Yes, faith can save him. James would say the same thing. So let him finish. He would say, faith can save you. He says, verse 15, here's the illustration. If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, they don't have anything to eat, basically. And one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? In other words, somebody has a need and you don't meet the need. Does that help the person?
Yes.
No, doesn't help the person. He's saying if you really want to meet the need, then do something about the need. Okay? Notice down there in verse 17, even so, faith, if it hath not what? Works is what? Dead being how?
Alone.
Yea, a man may say, thou hast what? Faith. And I have what? Works. He said, okay, you say you got faith. I say I got works. He says this, show me thy faith, or you show me your faith without your works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. In other words, he said, you tell me you're an electrician without being involved in any electrical work. I'll show you my electrician skills by doing the work. Which one you going to hire?
Yeah, that's right.
Amen. One is doing the work. Okay. Verse 19, he says, thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. Amen. He said, you believe in God? The devils also believe.
Yeah.
And they actually tremble more so than what we do probably.
Absolutely.
Verse 20, but wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without what? Works is what?
Dead.
Was not Abraham, our father, justified by what? Works when he had offered who? Isaac, his son, upon the what? The altar. So in other words, he believed God, and then he went back and he showed that he believed God by offering his son.
Yes, sir.
So what happened? His faith was valid, and his faith produced his work. If I believe, the light switch can be cut off by flipping the switch, I'll flip the switch.
Amen.
So in other words, what James is saying is that if you say you are, then be a doer of it. Simple as that. Amen. So when you look at this, that's what God is basically saying to these Jews, or to the Gentiles that did good to the Jews. Amen. Their faith produced works. By the way, your faith and my faith should produce works. Amen. So it's done positively. And I wanted to give us the background on that verse, so that we can understand that. Amen. Let me give you this last one and we're going to close here. So A, it's done personally.
Yep.
The golden rule, the movement of it should be done personally. B, it should be done positively. And then C, it should be done pleasantly. Pleasantly. Give me a good definition of pleasant. What is pleasant? Kind. What else is a good word for pleasant?
Sweet.
Enjoyably.
Nice.
You know, I can say, Daniel, you need a Bible? Daniel said, yes. Here, I guess I'll let you have mine. Always forgetting your Bible. I'll tell you what's the truth. You better take care of it, too. My grandfather gave me this Bible, by the way. If I see one page on here messed up, and I'm all grumpy about it, that's not pleasant. Would you want something like that? You know, Bev, you guys are broke down the road, you know, down and out. And the guy said, well, I'm going to let you put your thing in here. You better not scratch my truck and this line. And I'm going to let you drive my car and blah, blah, blah. You're like, I'd rather just stay broke down the side of the road and let somebody pleasant come by and help me. Now, I can have the Grinch who stole Christmas to help me, or I can have somebody joyful. So it should be done. If I'm going to do the golden rule, it should be done pleasantly. What do we hear all the time in offering time? God loves a what?
Cheerful
giver. God doesn't want him. Well, God, I guess you need my money. Thought you had a cattle on a thousand hills. You must be a broke God. You need my money here.
My goodness, Pastor.
God doesn't need your money that way.
He doesn't
need your help that way. So, you know, when we serve others, it's got to be the right motivation. You know, we can't expect anything in return. We have to really be pleasant so that we can feel good about what we're doing, because we're doing it the way Christ would do it. Amen. And the way God would do it. I mean, I don't know how these folks felt after they helped you out, Bev. But man, yeah, I'd have felt good about that. You know, if I could just help somebody, not expecting anything in return, man, I would have felt good about that. Amen. And it would have been just a blessing to really, really help somebody out. Amen. By the way, when you think about doing things for others, amen, you've got to really look at, I'm not doing this for you.
Amen, Pastor.
I'm doing this for the Lord. He told me Therefore, all things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. So I'm doing this for my Lord. I'm really not doing it for you. Now, you're not going to tell him that. Amen. Now, I'm not doing this for you, Jeff. I'm doing this for the Lord. Yeah, don't tell him that. But in your heart, you know that's true. You're doing it for the Lord, and you're not doing that for them. And so when you look at a verse like this, and we're doing this, notice that they give you verse John 13:17 down there.
Yeah.
And notice verse 17. If you know these things, happy are ye if you what? Do them. Jesus said in verse 13, you call me master and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and master, wash your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet.
Yes, sir.
For I've given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you.
Yes, sir.
Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, that's Jesus. Neither is he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy are ye. Just doing the will of God should make us happy. I'm doing what God wants me to do. He said, happy are ye if ye do them. Amen. Now, by the way, that's going to be your memory verse for next week. Amen. John 13:17. Because we're looking at the way we're doing things. And the way we're doing things, or the movement, it should be done personally. It should be done positively. It should be done pleasantly. Happy are ye if you do them. Amen. And every time you do a work for God over the next several days and up to next week, just remember this verse. I should be happy if I'm doing this. This should bring a certain amount of gratification to me. Even if I'm just doing it for my children, or if I'm doing it for my wife, or if I'm doing it for my boss, I should be happy about this. My wife, she's been down the last couple of days, so I've been nursing her back to health and providing for the children. And they love when I provide for them because I give them things that normally I would like to have myself. So, like pizza, amen. And I said, don't worry about cooking. I'm going to take care of the kids. And she probably cringed like, oh, what are you going to give them? Is it going to be pizza or fried chicken? Because those are the things I love. Hey, therefore, all things whatsoever you would that men should do to you. Fried chicken, pizza, amen. And I enjoy taking care of her. Got her medicine up there, got her pills. I bought her a doorbell so she can ring the bell, amen. She actually has a TV. She has Faith Monitor so she can see what we're doing downstairs while she's upstairs in the bed, you know. And the kids were over there all up with their faces in front of it. I'm like, don't scare her today. She's sick. Now you're going to scare her. She's going to be horrified. You see her face up close. Hey, Mom, how you doing? Yeah, don't do that. I was happy to help her out. I enjoyed it. Now, the kids aren't going to be much healthier, amen, this week. But I enjoyed it. Why? I wanted to do it personally. That's my touch. I say, preacher, what happened? We got to watch Three Stooges last night. Nice. Personally, I like Three Stooges. Yeah. You guys are stuck watching what I want to watch. We watched some Three Stooges. Yay! It was done positively, but it was done pleasantly. I enjoyed doing it. Now, I hate getting sick myself. But I enjoy taking care of her. If you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. Folks, as we go throughout this week, our movement should really be done personally. It should really be done positively and pleasantly as we try to implement the golden rule to those that are around us, showing them Christ-likeness in what we think, say, and do. Your memory verse is going to be John 13:17. Think about that verse as you do your works and your actions this week, that God may be glorified. Father, thank you so much for your goodness and your grace. Lord, thank you that we have this golden rule that we can, put into practice. James said, faith without works is dead. Lord, we want to have the faith, but we want to have the works to back it up and show who we are and, Lord, and what we're doing for our Lord. And, Lord, help it to be done personally and help it to be done positively and pleasantly towards others so that they can see our good works and glorify our Father, which is in heaven. Lord, bless now the refreshments that we have next door. And help us, Lord, to personally greet people. Help us to positively greet people. And then, Lord, pleasantly greet people as they come into our presence. We thank you, Lord. Give us discernment. Give us wisdom as we employ such a beautiful rule into our lives, Lord, that others may be blessed by what we do in all things, Lord. Thank you so much for loving us, Lord. Dismiss us with your blessings and bless the refreshments. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.